Jack was encouraged by the idea that the hunt party wanted the companions to hunt him individually. It would make things a hell of a lot easier for him if he could lay a few false trails and take them one at a time. Ryan, Christy, and Doc, however, had other ideas. The one-eyed man addressed Ethan and his guests.
You want this to be good, right? You want a good show, and you want the little fuck nailed as much as we do, right?
Of course.
Then we each get an individual crack at him, and you follow who you favor, but we don't act independently.
What do you mean?
Ethan sniffed the hint of a trick, and was momentarily worried that he was about to be double-crossed. It was the look of bloodlust on Ryan's face that persuaded him otherwise.
I mean, we know what Jack's like. You just let things ride, and he could hide out here forever. No, you want us to nail him, then you let us call the tune.
Ethan cast a glance at the assembled hunt party. One of the barons looked dubiously at Ryan, but the other seemed interested.
Go on.
We know how he works, and we know what he's likely to do. And I'm telling you that the best way to get him is if we go in and form a pincer movement, driving him into a channel so that he has very little option of where to run.
One of the other barons in the party smiled.
That's an interesting idea, One-Eye. That way we get to follow our favorites and we have more guarantee of an end result.
You'll get that. I can guarantee it.
Jack, sequestered under the cover of trees and shrubbery, decided that he had heard enough. If that was the way that they were determined to play it, then it was a good idea to get some distance between himself and them. Find a place where he could plot their courses and cut them off before they had a chance to pin him down. Swiftly and silently, Jack moved from his cover, moving back into the woods, keeping an eye on the clearing. His heavy combat boots were lighter than air on the treacherous blanket of leaves, bracken, and branches beneath his feet. One wrong step could give away his position. Jack never took a wrong step. He was always sure-footed, and he moved out of his position and into deep cover without making a sound. So it had to have been some kind of muty sense that made Christy whirl so that she was facing in his direction. He could see her, squinting into the darkness of the forest, and he knew that she couldn't see him. At the same time, he was certain that she knew he was there. Ryan and Doc turned to her, noting the way that her sentient curls had tightened around her head.
Is it Jack?
Not sure, lover. I can't swear to it, but I'm sure we were being watched, and from over there.
She indicated the spot where Jack had been hiding until a few moments previously. The hunt party exchanged glances, not knowing what to make of this.
Trust her, gentlemen. If Christy tells you he was there, then you can bet your life, or his, that he was. I suggest, friend Ryan, that we begin the pursuit.
As if to emphasize his words, Doc unsheathed the sword from his silver lion's head cane, the finely honed blade of Toledo steel catching the light with a wicked gleam. Ryan unleathered his Sig Sauer and pulled the panga from its thigh sheath.
It sounds good to me. Let's go. Doc, take the left. Christy, follow your instincts and go where he was. I'll take the middle path, cut the little fucker off. As for you,
he glanced over at the hunt party,
you just better hope that you can keep up.
Jack didn't hear their words, as he was now out of sight and sound, and had turned to run swiftly through the forest, checking his .357 Magnum Colt Python as he went. It was fully loaded, and he wouldn't hesitate to use it if he had to, but he was only too pleased to reholster it. Stealth would be one of his greatest weapons, and it wouldn't make great use of the cover the forest gave him if he loosed off the Python at the first opportunity. It was a heavy-duty hand blaster, and the noise it made would only serve to attract attention and give away his position. No, it was the knives he had secreted in his camo jacket that would be his greatest asset. Jack moved over the ground as though he were floating just above it, barely seeming to touch the surface. He could hear what was happening behind him as the three companions moved into the forest, followed by the crashing of the hunt party, still mounted. They would be easy to locate, although this had the disadvantage that their noise could obscure the movements of Ryan, Christy, and Doc, the real danger. Jack had been hoping to lead Ryan to the raccoon nest and Christy into the hollow trap, but he realized that this may have to change if he had to counteract a pincer movement. It would be whoever was nearest getting caught in each trap, which made things a little more difficult. Still, he reflected as he shinned a tree to get an overall view of the forest to his rear. Who had ever said it was going to be easy? From his vantage point, he could see that Ryan was moving in a straight line through the trees, which would take him directly past the hollow trap and the raccoon set, without touching either. Christy and Doc were flanking him, striking out in semicircles to hem in the territory in which they hoped to trap him. At their current trajectory, it would lead Christy past the raccoons and Doc past the hollow. Behind the three companions came the hunt party, which had also split into three, with Grey Horse and Riley shadowing Doc and Christy respectively as sec for the interested hunters, and Ethan himself riding shotgun for those who would follow Ryan. Jack figured that he was safe from an attack by the sec or the hunt party, at least until he had taken out the three companions. If their favored hunter lost out in the pitched battle, then they would want to follow Jack onto his next fight, and maybe try to win back Jack they had lost on the initial combat. Sick fucks. Still, if it kept them from attacking him to begin with, then it had to be counted as an asset. The three companions were moving slowly through the undergrowth, not wanting the albino to slip past and attack them from the rear. He sat up in his tree and watched for a little while longer. There was no doubt that he would still want to take out Doc first of all. The albino concentrated his attention on the old man, breathing reduced to a shallow minimum as he focused his attention on studying Doc's movements. Jack had to forget that this man had once been his friend. Now, he was nothing more than prey. Doc had his lama in one hand and the sword in the other. He was using the sword to carve a path for himself. He looked wild-eyed and disheveled, and although he was hopped up by the hypnotism, Jack could almost smell the undercurrent of fear coming off him. Even in this altered state, Doc was still aware that Jack was a younger, fitter, better fighter. If he wished to make the kill and avoid his own demise, he would have to act swiftly and decisively, which would also make him jumpy. Jack judged the distance between the old man and the hollow where he had baited the trap. It had the added advantage of being just a little too narrow for the hunt party to follow on horseback, and somehow, Jack couldn't see them wanting to dismount and put themselves in danger. They would be content with watching from a distance. So Jack's main task was to guide Doc into the trap and deal with him. He slipped down the tree, set on a course of action.
"See, I figure that the old man will have the drop on Whitey, because he has the experience."
The trader who had bet on Doc explained his motives to the inbred baron, who had opted to follow Doc. He hadn't bet any Jack on the old man, but was sure that he would see him chilled, and that was excitement enough. His money was on One Eye, but he figured that the albino would opt to take out the old man first.
"I can't agree. I think the albino will be too quick."
The trader shook his old and grizzled head.
"Well, speed ain't everything, Cletus. See, the albino ain't gonna want to use a blaster in case it draws attention to him. But the old guy ain't got any such worries."
"And you're sure that the old man's aim is true, Rowan?"
"Have you taken a look at that blaster of his? Shit, son, you don't need to be accurate. If he lets loose with that, just be glad we're behind it. It'll skin anything within 100-yard radius."
Grey Horse listened to the two men ramble on, and not for the first time wondered what the hell he was doing nursemaiding a pair of blood-hungry idiots, albeit idiots that had given his boss a whole shitload of Jack for the privilege. He had a few concerns of his own, and they didn't concern Doc or Jack. Ethan hadn't said anything back in the clearing, and the excited hunt party hadn't even noticed as far as he was aware, but Grey Horse was wondering what the hell had happened to Bones. Part of the deal with these hunts was that they were recorded on that old tech of his. Ethan used those tapes to advertise and sell the hunt to potential customers. This one was a primo example of the sort of thing Ethan wanted, and he'd been looking forward to getting the old man to record this. But the old man hadn't shown up. No explanation, no nothing. He just hadn't shown. Grey Horse knew that Ethan would be pissed about that and would want the old man's hide when they got back to Pleasantville. Ethan wasn't a man to be crossed, but that wasn't what worried the sec chief. Bones had always been totally loyal to Ethan, whether through fear, like so many, or because he was grateful for the role that the Baron had found him, enabling him to keep indulging his passions at a time when most barons would have found him little more than a useless and annoying old man. Bones wouldn't just blow off the Baron for no reason. So what the hell had stopped him showing up? Was there something going on back in the Ville that the dreadlocked sec chief should know about, should be attending to? Grey Horse listened to the inane chatter of the two men riding in front of him, and looked beyond them to the old man stalking a path through the forest. Was this all there was to being head of Sec in Pleasantville? Babysitting greedy hunters and old fools on pointless chases?